To celebrate new life at Easter, eggs and bunnies come in handy. But some cubs think it's just about candy. Welcome back to Deep in Bear Country, a Berenstain Bearcast. I'm your host, Phil Gonzalez, and this week, we're going to start with a correction. A correction, you ask? I didn't think you ever made mistakes. Ho, 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 ho. Oh, boy. Look back on a life well lived, my friends. You'll see mistakes a-poppin'. In fact, when the inevitable Broadway show gets written about my life, that's what it's going to be called. Mistakes a-poppin'. A musical review featuring no dance or singing, just weeping in the wings. The story of Phil Gonzalez. One mistake after another. But I do make mistakes. I make mistakes on this show. And first, before I get to the corrections, an admonishment to all of you for turning to this show for any kind of education. Shame upon you. Shame on your head for listening to the Bear Show and expecting me to get things right. What? So the correction comes from longtime listener, one-time guest, hopefully future guest, the Reverend Lauren Taylor, who was on this show not too long ago about God. What about God? Because I don't know anything, and I certainly don't know anything about God. Lauren wrote in to write about all the stuff I said about Easter last week. It's just a long, all caps rant about how wrong I am, and then a bunch of screaming, and then a sound file where she's just screaming at me, and then she placed a curse on me, which is weird. I didn't even know she had that kind of power. No, I'm just kidding. Lauren was, of course, very nice, very kind, very, very wonderful, as always, but she did write with a few things just about Easter. She says, Easter's a 50-day feast that starts on Easter Sunday. That's great. 50-day feast, though, it's long. That's a lot of feasting. I had a big lunch and probably won't be up for it. So, sorry. 50-day feast, that's a lot of meats to cut up. Lent leads up to Easter and starts on Ash Wednesday. I did know that. I played up my ignorance a lot in that segment. I actually know a little bit about some of this stuff because I sort of like lived through it for parts of my life. So, you know, I may act a little more ignorant sometimes than I am, but that's just a survival technique and a defense mechanism. So go me. Holy Week is the week leading up to Easter Sunday with Maundy Thursday. And I'm sorry that I mispronounced Monday Thursday. I just did it again on accident. I actually did it on accident. I'm sorry for mispronouncing Maundy Thursday. I understand that it is a word, as she says, is Maundy from mandatum, meaning command, the command to love each other. Maundy Thursday is one of those terms that I heard as a kid a lot and just thought was the most ridiculous. I mean, just come on. Just. It sounds too much like another day of the week. That's just like, what time is it? It's 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. Like, what is it? What is it, church? The Venerable Bede, and I did pronounce Bede correctly once or twice. She says he did make a lot of things up. The Orthodox Church split from the Roman Church and the Great Schism, which is also, I believe, the name of the schism from a series of unfortunate events. The last straw was the date of Easter, hence Greek Easter. So when I talked about how like, ugh, all the different ways to figure out Easter. She very kindly simplifies it I went to several different sources looking for information on that, and if you really want more information, just go to graduate school and write a thesis on it, because boy, there's enough research you can do out there. And she says the mandatum is to love each other and continue the meal, the Passover meal, which has become their Eucharist, the body and the blood. So, you know, like when I said that Easter was Christianity's co-opting of Passover, of course, I was using inflammatory language, because that's the kind of edge of your seat edginess you expect from a Berenstain Bears podcast. When I say they co-opted Easter, obviously they didn't like co-opt Passover. They just took it and ran with it. That's more or less what I was saying. More or less, you could just, we like that Passover thing. Let's just keep it up. Just keep going with it. There's a lot of It's a lot of fun stuff. We can just keep running with it. The long and short of it, though, being to not forget that Christianity, that no religion, in fact, came out of a vacuum. None of them sprung up whole cloth. They all came out of other traditions. And so when people are like, oh, that actually came from, this is my impression of people who aren't me. That came out of, they just stole that from, everybody stole everything from everywhere. And because it's not really stealing, it's just that's how belief evolves, and that's how traditions evolve, and that's how things evolve, and that's why we end up with where we are now with our TVs and our running shoes and our ballpoint pens that can write in different colors. It's what a wonderful world we live in. So that is Easter from the incredible Reverend Lauren Taylor. Thank you so much for that, Lauren. The wonderful thing about that is it proves people listen to the show. I assume maybe she just saw the title, or maybe she just thought I would like to know a few things about Easter. I don't know, but I assume she listened to the show. She's probably just like, oh, Phil, he learned so much from my talk with him. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. And then she was like, oh, no. So at the end of last episode, I said that the Berenstain Bears Easter Surprise was going to be our secular look at Easter. And then our next book, the book coming up, was going to be the sacred look at Easter, where we actually learn about the Jesus and learn about the resurrection and learn about the cave and the stone and the Mary and the other Mary and all of that good time Charliness. But unfortunately, I was absolutely wrong, because I had never read this book. And for some reason, because it was 2002, and I guess the colors on the cover, I had assumed that this was going to be the book where the Berenstains finally put their foot down and Mike was like, all right, we're doing Easter, we're going to do this right. Even though I should have known, because from my interview with Mike, he made it very clear that he was never comfortable doing things like the Easter story or doing explicitly Jesus-oriented things with the Berenstain Bears. Because he thought, especially at this point, in the early 2000s, and leading into like their, well, once they hit the transition into the Living Lights books, he was always just kind of like, that's a weird thing to do with these bear characters, like draw Jesus as a bear. Like, that's kind of weird and strange. And so I should have known that at this point they would not have been dipping their toes into the full Easter story. But I thought in my heart of hearts, because if you know me, you know that I like this kind of stuff. I like the religious stuff. I think it's fascinating how you turn something so complicated and sacred into something so marketable. I just find that fascinating. I love it. But so I picked up the Berenstain Bears and the real Easter eggs from 2002, thinking, all right, the real Easter eggs. This is where we're going to learn the real story, because like, oh, you think them Easter eggs is great? Check out the real Easter eggs, the blood of Jesus or something. I don't know what I was expecting it to be. What could the real Easter eggs have possibly been? Like, the real Easter eggs are the lessons we learned along. That's not what this is ever going to be. This was never going to be that. And I, for some reason in my head, I was like, the real Easter eggs? Why, that sounds like that could be something religious. Well, I got news for you, my friends. It's not in any way religious. It's the Berenstain Bears and the real Easter eggs from 2002. It's got a few little interesting things in it. It's nicely illustrated. It's nicely illustrated. So the story starts off with Sister Bear wondering out loud what the point of all of it is. Like, what the point of all the holidays is. Because you get stuffing on Thanksgiving, presents on Christmas, Valentine's on Valentine's Day. And you know what? When you look at the calendar, there's nothing in February besides Valentine's Day, nothing in March. But then you get April, and April is the time of Easter. It's a big Easter season, and that's the time for chocolates and candy, and we got to look forward to the chocolates and the candy. And Mama says, you know, the holidays are about more than that. Thanksgiving's about being thankful, and Christmas is about goodwill and peace on earth, and Valentine's Day is about love and friendship. And at this point, I was like, wait a minute. This is where I knew we weren't probably getting anything religious, because Thanksgiving, okay, I mean, yeah, but the Christmas is about goodwill and peace. I'm like, all right, if they're not touching on that, if they're not touching on the birth of Jesus, they're probably not touching on the resurrection of Jesus. So, because what happens is Sister says, oh, I wish every day was a holiday. Then you could get stuff every day. And Mama's like, is that all you think this is, just getting stuff? And so Sister goes on a journey, and that's what this book kind of is, learning about the true meaning of Easter. But, as we'll soon learn, not learning about the true meaning of Easter. So she's excited about coconut eggs. No one's excited about coconut eggs, by the way, Stan and Jan Berenstain. No child is like, ooh, coconut. Like, that just doesn't happen. Chocolate bunnies, yum, and double yum. She falls asleep that night with visions of jelly beans and chocolate bunnies dancing in her head. Thanks. That's good. And she wakes up, and it's snowing. So we already see parallels with the previous book. We have the kids getting excited about Easter because of all the candy and chocolate. Of course, this time they've heard of it in advance, as opposed to Brother in the last episode, where it was seemed to have been sprung on him all of a sudden, this whole concept of Easter. It's also snowy in the spring. And in this book, though, that's not like a nightmare. Although from someone living in Minnesota, I can tell you it is a nightmare. It is a nightmare. After a while, nightmare. So she and Brother go sledding, and they make snow angels, and they have snowball fights. And little by little, the season starts changing. The sun gets higher in the sky. Icicles drop off the roof. The birds start building their nests. The crocuses start appearing. In the last book, the crocuses were a huge deal. The crocuses are a bigger deal in this book. And Easter stuff starts appearing in the stores. And on TV, there's Easter specials starring the rabbit, the big boss bunny from the last book, which I found a nice little, dare I say, Easter egg. So anyway, in Beartown, there's going to be a big Easter egg hunt. Don't miss it. All cubs are welcome. Prizes, prizes, prizes. Delicious chocolate, Easter eggs, jelly beans, jelly beans, jelly beans, gigantic chocolate bunnies. Every cub will win a prize. And all the prizes are on display in the Beartown General Store. So they go and they look in the Beartown General Store, and the prizes are, they're sugar-trimmed, dark chocolate, coconut-filled eggs with sugar roses and violets on them, life-size milk chocolate bunnies, and one chocolate bunny as big as Brother Bear himself. Happy Easter indeed. They are so excited. They rush right home and tell their mama all about it. And mama's like, great, help me with these plants. And sister's all, but, she's like, let me show you this. Let me show you this. Look at these crocuses. Again with the crocuses. She's like, look at these crocus bulbs. They waited all winter to come up, and now they're coming up. Isn't that great? And sister's like, yeah, but so there's an Easter egg hunt. And mama's like, look at this bush. It's so scratchy. It's called a forsythia. And it doesn't look like much, but one day it'll have thousands of flowers on it. Remember that? And sister's like, yeah, but there's this thing going on in Beartown, and I can win candy for it. And Papa gets excited, but he's not allowed to enter because he's not a cub. So Mama's like, all right, we'll go to the Easter egg hunt. Okay, I'll let my family participate in something fun. So the big day of the Easter egg hunt is arrived. I guess it's on, is it on Easter? I don't think it's on Easter because it's the day of the big Easter egg hunt and it's dawn and no one's dressed for Easter. So in any case, and it has a big banner, it says Easter egg hunt headquarters. So I assume this is just a promotional tie-in with the general store. In any case, a friend of ours, Mayor Honeypot, is there. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I do not believe we have ever seen Mayor Honeypot in a first-time book. This might be his first appearance between the 8x8 pages of a first-time book. And he doesn't say anything, so we don't know if they're writing him with his usual affectations or if he's just some guy. So in any case, the egg hunt begins. The cubs run out. Brother and sister head into the woods. I don't know if the eggs are hidden in the woods, but they head out into the woods. They're like, none of the other kids are going into the woods. Let's go into the woods. And I'm like, maybe the other kids aren't going into the woods because they said, like, don't go in the woods. There's no eggs there. So they start finding some eggs, and then sister finds something in the bushes. 5 tiny blue eggs. And it says, ever so carefully and quietly, brother moved into the bushes and looked over sister's shoulder at, in italics, the real Easter eggs. And what are the real Easter eggs? Is it a love of the resurrection? Is it loving your neighbor, Reverend Lauren? Is it the blood of Christ? Nope. It's baby birds. One, each tiny blue egg cracked open and a tiny, scraggly, wet baby robin struggled to climb out. The mama and papa robin bring food and worms and insects. And brother and sister stare at them for a while. They miss the rest of the egg hunt, but they do get a few eggs, mostly jelly beans. They give papa the black jelly beans. And it says, many of sister's and brother's friends won the really big prizes, but that was okay. The sugar-trimmed chocolate eggs and the giant chocolate bunny would not only soon be gone, they would leave quite a few tummy aches behind. Sister and brother would never forget those baby birds. And the wonder of Easter and its message of new life would stay with them forever. And it looks like maybe Lizzie Bruin or Queenie got the giant chocolate rabbit and some other cubs got the giant chocolate eggs. These giant chocolate eggs, by the way, are the size of like large footballs. These aren't like just little chocolate eggs. They're eating these giant chocolate eggs. She's eating this giant chocolate rabbit. And it says, you know, like the chocolate won't be here forever. But those baby birds will. I mean, you know, birds do come and go for whatever reason. They don't last forever. Easter only comes one time a year. And there's a lot of birds around. I mean, you know, it's cool and all, but there are a lot of birds in any case. That's the book. So you do learn. Okay, so it does paint the ending for you pretty well. Easter and its message of new life is how we sum this one up. It's how we're dealing with the true meaning of Easter this time. There was a general sense of Easter and, well, I guess, okay, sister was born in the last book, so that new life was there. But for somehow, this actually makes it a lot more explicit. Because the last book was so coy about it, about sister being born. And this book is just comes right out and shows you baby birds hatching and the mama and papa bird feeding the baby birds and taking care of them and like the sort of cycle of life. Whereas in the previous book, it was about, there was like 100 plots in the last book with Boss Bunny and everything running around. And none of that came up until the last minute in the original story. So this is kind of like a They got a mulligan on the old Easter story with this one. They're kind of retelling it without all the weirdness and doom and gloom. I mean, don't get me wrong. I did enjoy the Easter surprise. I think it's a fine book and a fine special. But I think this one's a little more down to earth, a little more grounded. But is it a good Easter book? Sorta? I mean, kinda? Again, Easter is weird. If you're not teaching about Jesus, then you are just kind of left with the spring and the rebirth thing. But if you're not going with the religious aspect, the candy and the eggs are a really big part of it. Like, I don't know anyone who doesn't celebrate. So, if you know me, I'm a fairly secular guy. I don't celebrate the religious side of Easter. I celebrate the basket side of Easter and the egg side of Easter. And I think it's cool to have a way of marking like spring and the return of spring and the renewal and the rebirth of of the world. It's just one of those things. It's like, you know, I've talked about this in the past. So even with Halloween, you have Halloween, which is your opportunity to shout at the darkness and say, we know that the winter is coming, but we're not afraid. We're not afraid. We're scarier than anything you can throw at us. Ha ha ha. Halloween. We are a community. We give, we accept, you can knock on doors, social contracts. This is a safe place to be. Halloween, no matter how dark it gets, we know that we have the power of community. That's Halloween. Thanksgiving is a time to reflect as you head into the winter of like the people around you and you share a meal, you know, whether you do it with a family or a community or whatever, that's Thanksgiving. And this is all, you know, this is all separated from religion and stuff. And that's how I see it. You know, like it's now it's your time as it gets cold and it's fall to say like, you know, we did good this year and here's our bounty and let's thank, you know, ourselves or, you know, our God if we worship one, you know, for all this bounty. And then Christmas comes along and the holidays around Christmas and there are all kinds of ways of saying, you know what, it's a dead of winter. It's super cold. Everything's dead around us, but we can celebrate. We can have a great time. We can bring a tree into the house to say, ha-ha, there's life in here. We'll give gifts. We'll drink hot drinks. We'll be jolly and happy. We'll sing songs. Because even though it's cold outside and nothing's growing, we're happy inside and our hearts are warm. And then Easter, you know, some other stuff. Then Easter comes along and it's a way of saying, we made it. Hey, everyone, we made it. Let's plant a flower. Let's paint an egg. Let's hunt for chocolate. Let's gorge ourselves on candy and say, haha, we made it one more winter. And now it's time for spring. Let's welcome in the continuing year as we go around this fiery ball on this big blob of mud called the earth. And that's kind of my outlook on it. And I guess that's what this book is going for. Just saying, if you're not, don't focus too much on the candy. focus on the rebirth. But I'm also like, but if you're not focusing on the Jesus, the candy's a huge part of it. So I think Mama's being a little disingenuous. Plus, they go to the Easter hunt anyway. Like, the kids aren't being like particularly greedy. Like, I get that she's just trying to give Sister Bear a little perspective. But there's also the whole thing of like, it's a little child, a 5-year-old or a 6-year-old saying like, I wish it could be a holiday every day. That's nothing like you beat. I'm going to teach you a lesson. Like, that's not like something you need to like put your foot down on. Just be cool, Mama Bear. It's Easter. She's excited about Easter. Just let her be. Easter's weird this year, by the way, for us, for our family, because we have a split household. Half of us in the household celebrate Easter, and the other half celebrates Passover. And Passover starts the Friday before Easter, what some people might call Good Friday, except we don't. It's the first night of Passover, which makes Easter a little awkward because it's sort of smack dab in the middle of this other holiday, the holiday that it borrowed liberally from and took the ball and ran with it. So there's that in the family, but it's the only thing we deal with. We have our Seder. We have our baskets on Sunday. It works. It works. It's all good. At least it's not like, I guess it would work out if Passover was Easter night, because Passover doesn't start. But if Passover was the night before Easter, that would be even more awkward. That would be genuinely awkward. At least we have like the 1-day buffer. But anyway, that's the Berenstain Bears and the Real Easter Eggs. I actually like this book. It's available. You can find it. You can buy it. It's usually out at your various bookstores around this time of year. It's very pretty. It's got some nice coloring. It's got some nice illustrations in it. I like the Real Easter Eggs. It's got Mayor Honeypot, so buy it for that, just for that random appearance by our mayor. It's another book that confirms that Bear Town is called Bear Town, that Bear Country is the nation in which they live. They do not live in America. They live in Bear Country. So keep that in mind. I'll be talking about that later on. And so pick it up if you're looking for an Easter book. If you're looking for an Easter book and you're listening to this the day it drops, you better run out now and buy it, because tomorrow's Easter. So that's the way that works. A little housekeeping. May 24th, deep in Bear Country. One man's dive into the world of the Berenstain Bears, going up at Moon Palace Books here in the Twin Cities. One day I may look back on these episodes and be like, I really wish I hadn't pushed the show that hard. That was a disaster. What an embarrassment. But for now, it's not. For now, it's something I'm actually genuinely excited about. So come and watch me talk about the Berenstain Bears. Watch me talk about myself. Watch me trip and fumble over my words. Watch me hold up some visual aids that I forget what to do with. Watch me goof and gallivant across the stage as I just celebrate this big, dumb show that I've been doing for 4 years, and talk a little bit about Stan and Jan. I'm going to talk a little bit about my favorite aspects of Bear Country. I'm going to talk a little bit about myself. Maybe I'll get real in front of you. Maybe I'll get real on that stage. So who knows? If you're in the Twin Cities area, come to Moon Palace Books on May 24th, Friday, 6 o'clock show. It's a dinner show. Pizza and beer, if you're a beer drinker. Pizza and other, if you're not a beer drinker. But this is a pretty cool place to get pizza and drinks. It's a Geek Love Cafe. Like I always say about my show, it is kid appropriate, but it might not be kid interesting. So I'm not going to be cursing a swear or talking about sex, but your kids might just be bored watching this 42-year-old man like talk on stage. It might not be their bag. So if you bring your kid along, great. If you don't, that's fine too. Tickets are going to be available online. Again, I'm waiting to find out what that link is. Tickets will be purchasable online, so reserve your seat as soon as you can. I'll let you know. You can find me on Twitter at BStainBearcast. You can find me at BerenstainBearcast.wordpress.com and patreon.com/deepinbearcountry if you want to throw some dollar bills at me. Make it rain. Make it rain. Make it rain. That's it. I will be back next week, not with an Easter book, thank the goodness, but with more friends, follies, and foibles, or something. Happy Easter if you celebrate. Happy Passover if you celebrate that. If you celebrate neither, happy weekend. Enjoy the stores opening a few hours late, I guess. That's what happens on Easter these days, isn't it? Nothing even closes. You just wait a few hours, and that's when everything opens up. And I will see you all next time, deep in Bear Country.